If one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. Now, mathematically, you'd think that two could put 2,000 to flight. No, it says two could put 10,000 to flight. You know why? It's the power of agreement.
This is Straight Talk.
Welcome to Straight Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in for another edition with Senior Pastor Mark Job, author and lead pastor at New Life Community Church here in Chicago. My name is Joshua Hollick, and today I'm here with Pastor Mark, and we're excited about what God's doing in the city. There are so many great churches. One of the greatest things Jesus did for the world was to build his church where people can come to know him. And you may not be a part of a church yet. And so, Pastor Mark, what would you say to somebody who says, I love Jesus, but I don't think church is all that important?
Yeah, and I have that conversation often with people. And it's like saying, I believe my family's important, but I don't want to hang out with them. And so Jesus Christ called us to be a follower of his, but to do it in the context of community. And I realize that you can listen to a message like this on the radio, or you can turn on your television or download a podcast, but it's different. Yeah. You need to be connected with a community of faith. New Life is one of those options. There's some great pastors and churches in and around the city of Chicago that I pray with, bless, and would highly recommend in those areas. So find a church that teaches the Word of God unashamedly, that it believes in the deity of Jesus Christ and salvation through his name, that clearly presents the gospel. New Life is one of those churches that's been expanding throughout Chicago. So, Joshua, as you mentioned, we're multi-location. We meet in communities like Little Village, which are primarily Mexican community, but we also meet in places like Lincoln Park or Lakeview that are more young professionals. We meet all the way as north as Rogers Park, all the way as south as Oak Forest, all the way west as Melrose or Montclair, all the way east as in Bridgeport. And so if you want to find one of our New Life locations, you can go to our website and click on locations, and you'll probably find something that's at least fairly close to where you live if you live in the Chicagoland area.
So, friends, our encouragement is find a good, healthy church to be a part of. And if you don't have one and you're looking for one and you've been blessed by the ministry of Straight Talk, check out newlifechicago.org and come give us a visit. We'd love to meet you. We'd love to hear your story. And we believe that Christianity is meant to be lived with other Christians in the world being a light. So come on out and check it out.
Thanks, Josh. Hi, everyone. Today, Pastor Mark continues his new series called Life Lessons, Parables of Jesus. We'll be in the book of Matthew chapter 18. Let's join Pastor Mark right now.
I want to get right with God. I want to follow him, but I really, my heart's so hard that I can't and I don't want to. And he said, I want you to pray for me because I really need to come to God, but my heart is so hard I can't come to God. I said, okay, I'll pray for you. So I laid hands on him and I said, oh God, I pray that you make this man miserable. Take away his joy. Everything that he ventures on, may it fail. Take away prosperity. Take away success. Make problems in his relationships. And he pulled my hands off. He said, what are you doing? I said, I'm praying for you. He said, well, I don't want you to pray that. I said, you wanted me to pray that you would get right with God, right? Yes. And you're telling me that your heart's real hard, right? Yes. Well, sometimes the only way that you're going to come to God is when you realize that there is no other way that is fulfilling and satisfying and full of joy unless it's God. And sometimes the best thing that could ever happen to us is that bad things happen to us. Sometimes the best blessing on our lives is when there is a hedge around us, and it's not a hedge of protection, but it's a hedge that's keeping us from being satisfied in anything but God. Because as long as his business is prospering, as long as he's got his girlfriend, as long as things are going well, he's going to satisfy himself in those things and he's not going to turn to God. The Bible says that when there is someone that's hard, that we are to begin to engage in the binding and releasing of the blessing and the goodness of God in our lives and those people that are around us. Number three, I'm talking to you about principles of when someone is offended or hurt. Number three, and oh, I hope you get this principle, because this principle will shake your life if you get a hold of it. It's the principle of agreement. Let me read it to you in Matthew chapter 18, verse 19. It says, again, I tell you that if two of you on earth, by the way, there's no agreeing with dead people. You say, well, Pastor, I like to pray to my mother who died before me a year ago because I feel like she's in heaven and she's closer to God. Let me tell you, I understand that your heart feels that way, but the Bible calls that spiritism. Let me just repeat that. Some of you are engaging in a practice of spiritism, and you're engaging in it in a very naive way because you think you're doing something nice and good and you don't think it's bad to do. Anytime that you invoke the dead, whether it was your mother, your father, or any other dead person, and you pray to that dead person, you are involving yourself when the Bible calls witchcraft or sorcery. You are directly opening yourself up to demonic influence. You say, well, I feel like my mother's up there and she understands. Let me tell you, if your mother's in glory, she understands and loves you. And if your mother were right here, she'd say, don't pray to me, pray to Jesus, because he's the one that answers. And here's your prayer. You say, well, Pastor, one time I went to this seance and I invoked and my mother answered me and spoke to me. Yeah, so did Saul and other people in the Old Testament. And it's called sorcery. Do you realize there's imitations of what's real? Do you realize that the enemy loves to counterfeit what is authentic and real of God, and he will show up in whatever you like? And if you're praying for an appearance of your mother to come and speak to you, Satan has all kinds of great mother disguises that he can show up with and speak to your heart. Never invoke dead people. It's forbidden in Scripture. Even if you try to do it in a good way, you pray to God, you pray by the power of the Holy Spirit, and you pray it via Jesus Christ, who is the mediator, Savior, who died. There is no other name we pray in except the name of Jesus, who is the Savior and the Messiah. Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. I love this. This is called the principle of agreement. And let me tell you about the principle of agreement, because there is a lot of power in this principle of agreement. The word in the Greek here, when it says, if two of you agree on earth about anything, is the word to symphonize, where we get the word for symphony orchestra. It's the same as harmonizing. Now, in a symphony, you'll have a bunch of different instruments, and you'll have the cello, and you'll have the flute, and you'll have the piano, and you'll have the baritone, and all of this, when it's combined together and they're following the same music, it results in a melody that's pleasing to the ear because they are symphonizing together. They're harmonious. Now, they're different instruments with different sounds, but they're going in one accord. That's what it means to symphonize. Now, when two believers from different backgrounds, different ages, different personalities, they come together and they agree together that there is something in their heart that they are unwilling to let go of, that God has placed a burden in their heart that they are going to believe together and storm the throne of God until God says yes. And they say, we will covet together to pray and join our faith together and believe together. Then God says, when two or three come together in the name of Jesus, because that's the way you pray, in the name of Jesus, when you come together in the name of Jesus, that the power and presence of God is released in that place. And when they pray, God starts moving in the heavens and answers to prayer start happening because there's the prayer of agreement. Now, can I tell you this? You could have 500 people in one building that aren't in agreement, and there's more power in four people in agreement than 400 that are out of agreement. Hello? You say, well, Pastor, I just like to pray by myself. I like to mess with other people. I listen to their prayers. I just, you know, me and God. Why do I have to pray with others? Because of agreement. This is a special promise here. We're two or three. That's the minimal to be in agreement. Two. Two or three. Imagine what happens when there's five or six, seven, eight, 10 or 20, 30, 40, 100, 200, 400, 500 that come in agreement and pray that God says there is a presence of God that is released in that place because he is there in the midst of them in a way like he would not be there if it was just you alone. In fact, do you know what it says in Deuteronomy? It's the same principle. In Deuteronomy, I believe it's chapter 32, verse 30. It says, how could one man chase 1,000 or two put 10,000 to flight unless their rock had sold them, unless the Lord had given them up? Now notice the compounded. If one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. Now mathematically you'd think that two could put 2,000 to flight. No, it says two could put 10,000 to flight. You know why? It's the power of agreement. And so when there is someone that has fallen away, or there are people that you are interceding for, let me tell you, young people, if you are a mother here and you have a teenager that's straying and has gone off and is following their own course, sometimes the best thing that you could do is you find that little old grandma in the church that has a lot of time to pray, that loves God and walks in communion with Jesus, and you sit down with that grandma and you say, Grandma, I got a young person in my house that's straying, that's a prodigal. I need someone to pray in agreement with me every day until I see that young person come back to God. And I need someone that will pray every day. Grandma, will you come in prayer in agreement with me? And let me tell you, that little grandma that agrees with you in prayer, she has got a heart of a mother and she understands and has time to pray. When you agree with her, there is something in the heavenly realm that starts shaking and moving and is released in the physical realm. Never underestimate the power of a praying grandma. Amen.
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe from New Life Community Church in Chicago. We are in a series called Life Lessons, Parables of Jesus, and our message is called Walking in True Freedom. Stay tuned and I'll tell you more about Pastor Mark Jobe and New Life Community Church after the broadcast, as well as how you can get a copy of this message for free. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Matthew chapter 18. Our message is called Walking in True Freedom.
Now it goes on to tell us here, so that if you've been offended, you follow the process that God has given you. You don't go around telling everybody else about it. You follow a process. You go to the hard places. You confront the people you need to confront. Secondly, you begin the binding and releasing in the heavenly realm. Thirdly, you enter into the prayer of agreement because you that want that person to be restored. Now right after this, Peter said, well, Jesus, how many times would we forgive someone that sins against us? Now, in the Jewish days, the rabbis taught that if someone offended you, you should forgive them three times. After that, punch them. Now, people like that teaching. They would just count one, oh, two, ha. You know, they like that. So Peter thought he would be super spiritual approaching Jesus. And he said, Jesus, oh Lord, how many times should we forgive? Seven? I think he thought Jesus was going to say, whoa, Peter, are you spiritual today? You must have taken your multivitamin super spiritual pills today because, wow, you're double what the rabbis say. And Jesus turned around at Peter and he said, Peter said, yes, Lord. Jesus said, Peter, not seven times, but 70 times, seven times, I want you to forgive. Now, Peter's doing the math real fast in his head, and he realized 70 times 7 means 490 times. Now, I know that shocked Peter. And some of you have taken that so literally, you've been counting. You're on 301, 302, 300. Don't talk to me. You're messing my count up. And you say, well, Pastor, after 350, I lost count. Exactly. You see, that's the point. God made it such a ridiculous amount. It's not about 490. It's about you losing track of the times that you forgive, because the point is that you operate and live with a spirit of forgiveness, and you release and you release and you forgive, and you don't hold grudges in your heart and you don't hold grudges in your life, because let me tell you, you will be offended and hurt hundreds of times in life. And unless you learn to forgive, you will be one miserable individual. Every time I go to Spain, I like to visit two places. One is my father's grave. He died in 1995, 9 years ago, after spending 30 some years as a missionary. We buried him in the soil of the country that he had prayed for. Tears had dropped down his face into that dirt. And now, in fact, this past time that I was there, in the city where I went, where there was no Bible preaching, Bible believing evangelical church, the five churches that are there now gathered together on a Sunday morning to hear me preach. And I had an opportunity to speak to them. It was a beautiful thing to do. But I was visiting my father's grave. Every time I come away from my father's grave, I pray this prayer. God, give me a double portion of love for people, because he loved people. And his love for people inspired me. And I say, God, give me a portion of that, double portion. The second place that I always visit is a town called Ruvena. It's the town that I grew up in. It's a town of about 200 people, about 13 kilometers outside of Burgos. I went to a one-room schoolhouse in Ruvena. There were 30 children, one teacher taught all grades. We took turns bringing the wood for the wood stove in that school. The town was so small that when we first got there, none of the roads were paved. In fact, I've told you this before, but I still remember my phone number. My phone number was 8. Seriously, 8. And it had to go through a switchboard operator who also served as the local waitress at the gas station up by the expressway. So when you called, sometimes you couldn't get through and she'd say, excuse me, I'm waiting tables. She had to plug you in with whoever was calling. So that gives you an idea of the town that was there. But what I discovered in a little town like that is that there's good things and there's bad things. And there's one family in that little town of 200 people, a brother and sister, that if you were to meet them separately, you would say these are the nicest people in the world. They're friendly, they're outgoing, they'll give you the shirt off their back if they had to. But there was a sister and a brother in that town that I never really for years knew they were sister and brother, because they never spoke to each other. And finally one day I discovered they were sister and brother, and they hadn't spoken to each other for 25 years since their father passed away and left them the inheritance, and the inheritance that they fought over. And for 25 years they lived in this little town, small town, never talked to each other, never said a word to each other. Talk to everybody else, but walk right by each other because of some fighting over an inheritance. Now, I don't have time to get into it this morning, but the very next passage that Jesus talks about is forgiveness. And I can guarantee you this, when you don't forgive, you do two things. Number one, you become a jailer. It's a miserable thing to become a jailer. Because a jailer, man, a jailer always has to walk around with keys. Because he's holding someone prisoner. You're not going to get out until I release you. A jailer always has to watch the prisoner. Anytime the prisoner rattles the cage, he's got to be there. What's up? Anytime the prisoner sleeps, he's got to make sure he's sleeping. And if you hold someone in debtor's prison today because they've offended you or hurt you, you may not have seen that person in years, but whenever you hear news about that person, it always stirs you up. If you're in a gathering like this and walk into an auditorium with several hundred people like this, and you see them at the other side of the room, guess what? Your attention and your thinking is about that person. Who they're talking to, who they're with, what they're doing, and what they're saying. You know why? Because you are a jailer. And at the end of the parable, Jesus says that when you don't forgive, you'll be handed over to the tormentors until you release. Because when you walk in unforgiveness, not only do you become the jailer, but your conscience torments you. And the other thing that you experience is what I call the clog effect. Have you ever been sucking through a straw with a nice thick milkshake with little pieces of fruit in there, and a piece of fruit gets stuck in the straw, or a piece of ice, and you're, and nothing's coming out? It's kind of frustrating because all this good stuff is right there and you can't get to it. And your straw collapses because you're sucking so hard, and you take that straw out and you shake it. It's the clog principle. The good stuff is there, but you're not getting it. Let me tell you, the good stuff of God is there. The blessing, the forgiveness, the presence, the joy. But some of us, although the good stuff of God is there, you're not receiving it because you have something clogged. Not because God doesn't want you to have it, but because you've allowed yourself through unforgiveness to clog up the channel through which the flow of God comes to your life. Early on in Matthew, the disciples said, Jesus, teach us how to pray. And he taught them the Lord's Prayer. And at the end of that, he says, but if you don't forgive people when they offend you, then your Heavenly Father will not forgive you either. And there's some of you here that God desperately wants to bless, desperately wants to give joy to, desperately wants to give his presence to. But when he pours it down through that funnel, it all gets clogged up because you have some sort of resentment, some sort of grudge, some sort of unforgiveness towards someone. And God wants you to have it, but it's not flowing to you. And you say, where is God? Well, he's here. Where's his joy? Well, it's going to you. It's in the pipeline, but the pipeline is clogged. And God says, unclog it, and you will experience the fullness of the flow of God in your life, and you will feel the joy of life come to you. Now let's close in a word of prayer. And I'm going to ask the musicians come forward, and we're going to close with a song. As we close this morning, here's my challenge. You need to be willing to go to the hard places. You know, sometimes we avoid the hard places because the hard places are hard. I want to challenge you, go to the hard places. Have you been offended lately? Have you been hurt lately? Are you willing to deal with it? Are you willing to practice the principle of process, the principle of binding and releasing, the principle of agreement? Are you willing to take on an attitude of release and let God flow, fill you with all of that?
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe of New Life Community Church in Chicago. His message has been called Walking in True Freedom from a brand new series entitled Life Lessons, The Parables of Jesus. Tune in again tomorrow as we start a brand new message.
As I mentioned earlier, if you would like to have a copy of this message or the entire series, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com That's Pastor Mark Jobe, JOBE.com. There you will find over 45 other series that can help you with your daily walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message or the entire series, contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping. We'd love to invite you to check out a New Life location near you this Sunday. We have 24 life-giving locations throughout the city of Chicago and the surrounding areas. You can check out all of our locations and the times that we meet at www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We would really love to meet you, and please tell them that you heard about New Life through the radio program. We hope that this broadcast has been a blessing to you, and we ask that you join us again on the next Straight Talk. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate your listenership. On behalf of Pastor Mark, our Straight Talk team, and myself, have a great night, and God bless.